The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala is indeed one of the greatest scholars and imams. He is founder of Fiqh Hanafi, and hundreds and thousands, millions and billions of Muslims throughout the world have been following him, and inshallah will be following till the Day of Judgment. The viewers of Madri Channel, it is written in his biography that there was a youth living in his neighborhood, and it was habit of that youth that he would drink alcohol and then would make noise whole night. And Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala and other neighbors were not able to sleep properly. One day someone complained against him and police came and they arrested him and put him in lockup. After 2-3 days, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala realized there used to be noise from the next door, but now that youth is not in his home, maybe something has happened with him. So when he asked regarding that person, so he was informed that that youth was arrested and then now he is in lockup. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala went to the police station or Kotwal of that time, and then he did intercession for him. So that neighbor, that youth was released because of the intercession of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala. He came back. After that he made tawbah and became true and practicing Muslim. The viewers of Madri Channel, this beautiful incident from the life of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala teaches us a lesson, and that is that it is possible there are some people who are around you, they are teasing you. When they are around us, we don't feel comfortable, but it doesn't mean that there is no way to straighten their crookedness. It doesn't mean that there is no hope that they will come right. There is a lot of hope, and that hope can be your personality. You come forward, try to make his mind. If he is creating a problem for you, sit with him and clear the misconception from his mind and invite him towards righteousness. Believe me, these are sometimes just misunderstandings, and once we are able to remove those misunderstandings, that person not only comes right, but he becomes one of the most wonderful friends of us. Dear viewers of Madri Channel, this beautiful incident also teaches us another lesson, that if we forgive others, just because of our forgiveness for them, they come right and they become practicing Muslim. So instead of taking revenge from someone, as long as it is possible to forgive them, please forgive them. And then, what are the excellences of forgiving others? There is a conversation between Hazrat Sayyidina Musa Kalimullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam and between Allah Almighty. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked, "O Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the most honorable person in your sight?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that the most honorable person in my court is that person who, in spite of having power to take revenge, forgives others. Allahu Akbar. And believe me, those who have habit of forgiving in this world, inshallah azza wa jal, by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal on the day of judgment, they will also be forgiven. The viewers of Madni channel, as you know, we are talking about Husne Muasharat, meaning our relationships with other fellow Muslims in society, and then manners of eating and manners of everything. So let's go to Mufti Saab and ask him first question of the day. Mufti Saab, yesterday we discussed that there are some people who are more concerned with their worships, but they are negligent regarding the hukukul ibad, their relationships with other people. Today I want to ask about those people who are totally opposite to them. They are, you know, very well behaved, very soft spoken, very kind with others. So they have their entire focus upon hukukul ibad, their relationships with others. But unfortunately, they are totally negligent regarding the worships, regarding salah, regarding paying zakah or hajj. What is the commandment of Sharia regarding these type of people who are negligent totally about salah, but they are very good in their general treatment or their behavior with others?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As regarding first kind of people, we have discussed that though they are very good in the matters of worship, but they are making mistake or they are negligent in the matters of muasharat and manners. So they are worshipper in one way, but they are sinner on the other way. So similarly, the condition and the commandment of these people is like those people. They are good in the matters of manners and muasharat, but they are making mistakes and they are committing sins in the matters of worships. As there are many things of the manners and muasharat which are obligatory, which are farz and wajib upon us, similarly, these worships are also obligatory upon us. Who doesn't know that offering prayer and performing hajj and observing fast and paying zakah, these are not farz upon a Muslim. These are farz upon a Muslim. So whosoever is good in manners and in muasharat, but he doesn't offer prayer, so he is committing that sin. And that is not a minor sin, that is major sin. Leaving even one prayer is a major sin. And not paying zakah, that is another major sin. And not observing the fast of Ramadan, that is another sin. Not performing hajj, that is another sin. So these are major sins. And we don't know on which our sin we could be thrown in the fire of hell, because it depends upon the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. If these people are good in some things, but they are very far from the worships of Allah Azza wa Jal, so might be because of not offering prayer, because of not doing other worships, Allah Azza wa Jal get displeased with these people, and because of that, these people will be thrown in the hellfire. As there are many ayat in which there are many warnings about these people who are negligent in offering prayer and in doing worships. As there is one ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيًّا. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned particularly those people who give up their prayer, who are negligent in the matter of prayer. أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they follow their desires. So because they follow their desire and because they waste their prayer, they don't offer their first prayer, so what would be the punishment for those people? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّ. They will meet غَيْ. غَيْ is one valley in hell. That is one valley in Jahannam. So they will be put into that valley. They will be thrown into that valley. But the person who leaves even one prayer, he deserves that punishment, because every prayer is farz. Every prayer is farz. Similarly, regarding paying zakah, there are many ayat of the Holy Quran. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ
أَلِيمٍ.
Those people who collect gold and silver, but they don't spend in the path of Allah. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So give glad tidings to those people for the hellfire, for the painful punishment. So that is not basically glad tidings, but that is for making them understand, only for that purpose. So though these people are very good in the matters of manners. They behave with other people in good way, but because they don't pay zakah, so Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned this warning for those people. وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِدَّةَ, and those people who collect silver and gold and they don't spend in the path of Allah. They don't spend in the path of Allah means they don't pay zakah of those. فَبَشِّرُهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ, so then there is painful punishment for those people. And similarly, there are many warnings regarding not observing the fast of Ramadan and not performing the Hajj. That's why every person should be careful in every kind of matter. All the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal must be carried out. Those people who are very firm, mashallah, in the matters of worships, so they should be careful in the matters of manners and muasharat as well. And those people who are very good in the matters of muasharat and manners, so they must fulfill their responsibilities regarding worships.
Achha, Mufti Sahib, I mean, when we observe these type of people, we discover or we come to know that because they have been company of those people who were very polite, very kind, then they were taught in their schools or in their colleges, all these type of things. So it means that they develop this habit because of being in the company of these type of people. In the same way, if they want to develop the habit of becoming worshipper in terms of reading salah regular in their fast and then paying the charity, so if they are in company of these type of people who are already very regular in their salahs and they are very punctual in their ibadat, so will they also be able to make themselves punctual just because of being in the company of those people?
You see, company has good impact over the companion. If someone sits in the company of good people, so he will learn some goodness from those people. That's why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh, who had mentioned the spiritual diseases in Ihya'ul Ulum, in Qima'e Saadat, so in the cure of every spiritual disease, he mentioned two things. One is scholarly things, means according to knowledge, according to information, how can we remove over that disease. And the second is the practical things. So in practical solutions, in the practical measures, what a person should take, I think in the cure of every disease, one thing Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh had mentioned everywhere, and that is getting the company of those people who carrying out those good qualities and who are away from that bad quality. For example, if a person has stinginess in his heart, he is a stingy person, he can't spend even one rupee in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So what is the cure for that person to remove that stinginess from his heart? Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh said he should sit in the company of those people who are generous in spending wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. When this person observes those people, so after a while, after a few days, the love with his wealth will be removed from his heart and he will start spending his wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And similarly, in the matters of sincerity, if one person sits in the company of sincere people who do worships only for Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they don't even think about ostentation, and they remain immersed in the love with Allah Azza wa Jal, all the deeds are only for Allah Azza wa Jal. If they get any money from someone because of their piety, so they reject that. We don't want and we don't need that penny against our worship, because we have done that for Allah Azza wa Jal. As that was mentioned in that ayah, what we have recited many times, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. So those people who are acting upon that, and they are truly practicing Muslim in that matter, so when any person will sit in the company of these people, he will get that sincerity in his heart very easily. So company has effect, company has a lot of effect over companion. So that's why those people who offer prayer, if they sit in the company of well-mannered people and well-behaved people, so these kind of people will learn those good manners from the second kind of people. And if those second kind of people will sit in the company of these first kind of people, they will learn and they will get the love of worships from these worshipers people. So that's why for that purpose they should sit with each other. And whenever we sit with anyone, we should try to gain good things from those people. Though one person sits in the company of some worldly people, but there are many good qualities in worldly people as well. So if a person sits with them, he should learn some good qualities from those people. And those worldly people, if they sit in the company of any scholar and any chef, so they must learn good things from those scholars. So from each other, they should learn something.
Dear viewers of Madni Channel, really company is very effective. And sometimes it is stated that you are what is your friend. Meaning, when people want to judge you, they judge you by the company you keep. If you are sitting in the company of smokers, people will think you a smoker as well. If you are sitting in company of drinkers, people will think that you are also one of them. And believe me, if you are sitting in the company of namazis, musallis, those people who are punctual in their salahs, people will think that you are also one of them and you are also punctual in your salah. So dear viewers of Madni Channel, man is known by the company he keeps. Please try to go and sit in the company of those people who are beloveds of Allah. Those who are lovers of Allah and beloveds of Allah as well. Those who are lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and beloveds of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. And I think the best example is the environment of Dawat-e-Islami. An environment where people are not only punctual in offering salah, but they are also punctual in the sunnah of beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like wearing imama and then having the white dress. So inshallah azza wa jal, when you are in the environment of these type of people, believe me, as people catch bad habits from others like smoking and drinking, in the same way people catch the good habits like offering salah and being punctual in salah in the company of these type of good people.
For the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, it is internationally known and it is widely observed fact that alhamdulillah, people get good qualities from the environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah, how many people have changed? They have changed their mind, they have changed their habits, they have changed their character only because of that environment. They, mashallah, they came, they attended ijtima, they sat in the company of Ashiqan Rasul. Alhamdulillah, they brought a lot of changes in their life. That is observed. That is not only for the matter of philosophy and that is a matter of discussion. That is a fact which everyone can observe very easily. And if we read the stories of those people, mashallah, who have changed their life, so very easily we can understand the people who were robbers, mashallah, when they came in this environment and they attended only one congregation of Dawat-e-Islami and they sat in the company of these people, alhamdulillah, just because of one congregation and just because of one sitting, mashallah, they changed their life, they repented from their robberies and their sins, and alhamdulillah, they have become pious Muslims.
Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madni Channel, in this regard, I will suggest a beautiful silsila, Madni Inqilab. If it is possible, please watch that silsila. You will find that many robbers, they repented and became muballighin of Dawat-e-Islami.
Even nowadays, as alhamdulillah, in Dawat-e-Islami, Darul Madina has been established. Darul Madina school system, Islamic school system has been established. So now there are many people in Pakistan, what I know, they can afford the expenses of other very expensive schools. Okay, they can send their children to very famous and very prominent schools of the country. But they send their children to the school of Dawat-e-Islami, Darul Madina. Why? They say because in those schools, though the education is very high, the standard is very high, and our children can learn very good there, but the environment of those students are not Islamic environment. That's why we can bear the loss of that highly education, but we can't bear the loss of their religious education and their religious practicing, what they can learn in these schools. So that's why, alhamdulillah, they send their children there, and after that, they really observe the results of their decision. that they have sent their children to Darul Madina school system. And after that, alhamdulillah, those children, those students, they recite Naat, they recite Hamd, and they want to go to Medina. They pray for that, and they demand to their parents that we want to go to Medina because in our school, so many of our class fellows, mashallah, they have been there and they have come from there. So they were telling us regarding Makkah and Medina and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we want to go there. So that kind of environment, even in the schools of Dawat-e-Islami, and school life is very different from the common environment of Dawat-e-Islami, because the common environment, there are only Islamic teachings, there are only every time the religious discussions, the religious speeches and teaching and learning method is going on there. But in schools, the worldly education is also going on there. But in spite of that, those schools are worldly schools, but because those are the schools of Dawat-e-Islami, that's why Dawat-e-Islami has created their own environment there. That's why, mashallah, the people like to send their children to Darul Madina school system. So when that is the impact of Darul Madina school system, so what would be the impact of those ijtima'at, those congregation in which there is only religious matters are discussed and only learning and teaching session is going on there.
Subhanallah, Mustafa, I don't want to lose the opportunity to mention that I have seen small, you know, Madani Munnas kissing the hands of their parents, their fathers. Then they are straightening, you know, putting the shoes in front of them. And then small, you know, Madani Munnis, they are wearing hijab and very careful regarding their hijab. So, I mean, it looks that if in their childhood they are like this, so inshallah azzajal, when they will become adult and grown up, so inshallah azzajal, they will be really the walking, you know, messengers of Sunnah, inshallah. Yes. So I hope those who are listening, inshallah, they will try to enroll their children in Darul Madina and in Jamatul Madina and other institutions which are run by Dawat Islami, like Madrasatul Madina online.
One story came to my mind now.
Ji.
I've been South Africa.
Ji.
So I was there, and we have been invited in one house. So we went there. One Islamic brother put on TV there. The host was arranging some tea, and this is, so that person puts on TV. So I forbid him, what are you doing? Because that is not appropriate, because you are in the house of someone and you are switch on his TV. So what kind of channel he watches, we don't know. So why did you do that? But as soon as he switch on the channel, so Madani channel appears. So I was astonished, I was surprised because he didn't know that we are coming to his home. So, but Madani channel was appearing on his, so when that person came, I asked him, this person has switched on your TV and Madani channel is appearing there. So, do you watch Madani channel at your home? He said, yes, Mufti sahab, I watch Madani channel and my children watch Madani channel as well. I asked him, you can understand Urdu, but your children, so they have been born here, they are native, they can understand only English, so they can't understand Urdu, and Madani channel is in Urdu that time, so why do they watch Madani channel when they are unable to understand that Urdu? He said, Mufti sahab, basically I motivate them to watch Madani channel. Why? Because we live in that society where there is no teaching of Islam. Our children and our generation doesn't know what is Islam and what is the face of Muslims. How do they look like? How do Muslims look like? So I make my children watch Madani channel so that they can at least learn what is Islam and what are the faces of Muslims and how do Muslims look like. Only for that purpose I make them watch Madani channel, so that they would be familiar with Islamic faces, means with beard, with turban, and with Islamic dress, and with speaking style. So they would be familiar with that.
Subhanallah, very wonderful. Achha, Mustafa, coming to the topic, there are many commandments in Sharia which are wajib, obligatory, compulsory, like this. So I want to know specifically about muasharat. Like, as we know that Salah is farz, Zakat is also farz if he has a certain amount of money or anything like that. So I want to know that are there some things which are wajib in muasharat as well, our manners or our relationships with others?
As five prayers are farz, witr is wajib, and the sunnah of fajr and the some other sunnah, some things are nawafil. So basically, similarly, the matter of muasharat is like that. There are many things which are obligatory in the matter of muasharat. For example, what did we mean by muasharat? How do we behave with our parents, with our wives, with our children, with our neighbors, with the people of our society? So how many things are farz in our relation with our parents? How many things are obligatory upon us in the matter of our relation with our wives? We have to provide nafqa to our wife. We have to provide that. We have to provide that provision to her because that is her right. And to remain well behaved with her, that is another obligation from Sharia. How do we behave with our neighbors? That must be in the way that we never tease our neighbors. And he must be safe. He must be safe from our evils, from our mischiefs. We never tease our neighbors. That is obligatory upon us. So in that way, I would say there are many things in the matters of muasharat which are obligatory upon us. And for the people of society, so there are many commandments of Quran and Hadith in which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned many things which are regarding our behavior with our fellow, fellow Muslim, with those people who live in our society. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Holy Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الِاسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَن لَّمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in this ayah three things. The first thing is that never ridicule each other. Never make fun of each other. Because when we ridicule someone, we hurt that person. We hurt the emotion of that person. That's why it is haram. It is unlawful. The second thing which Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned here, that is, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't insult each other. Insulting each other is also haram because that is hurting someone. When we insult someone, we are hurting that person. We are defaming that person in society. That is haram. And that defaming other people will damage our society. That will affect our society in negative way. Because insulting someone make that person humiliated in society. And that is totally wrong. That is violation of the rights of other people. The third thing which Allah mentioned here, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. And don't call other people with offensive nicknames. With offensive nicknames, don't call other people. As some people call other people with their nicknames, sometimes those nicknames are liked by those people. They don't mind those. They don't dislike those. So those are accepted. There is no harm in that. But if someone feels hurt because of his nickname, so then we are not allowed to call him with that nickname. That would be offensive nickname. So that is not allowed. So these three things regarding the matters of muasharat, regarding the rights of other people. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioning in this place, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And if someone has committed that, so now it would be obligatory upon him to repent from that. And if he doesn't repent from that, then these people are transgressors. They are oppressor over other people. So now in the light of this ayah, we can understand that the matters of muasharat, sometimes those are first. The commandment regarding the matters of muasharat are obligatory upon us. We have to follow those. We have to act upon those. And if we violate those commandments, then we would be sinner, we would be transgressors, we would be oppressors of other people. And that is against the submission and obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, as Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded here. There is another ayah in the same surah. Allah Azza wa Jal said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal again mentioned three things. The first thing is that اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. O believers, avoid much of assumptions. Indeed, some assumptions is sin. إن بعض الظن إثم. Indeed, some assumption is sin. ولا تجسسوا. And don't spy. Don't search for the faults of other people. And the third thing is ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا. And don't backbite each other. These are three commandments which have been given in this ayah. And these three things, these three commandments are regarding the matters of society, regarding the rights of other people. The first thing, don't make a lot of assumptions, because some assumptions are sin when those are negative and when those are without any evidence, so those would be sin. And that must damage the society, because bad assumptions, wrong assumptions, negative opinion regarding other people lead a person towards the damaging of society. And because it will humiliate that person, it will insult that person, it will defame other person, that person would be humiliated in the eyes of other people. In front of this person will tell those people, this person, I think this person is transgressor, this person is committing that sin. In my opinion, that person is wrong, he is negative, he has negative character. Without any evidence, when person has that kind of mentality regarding any person, so that person will become humiliated in the eyes of this person, and that is not allowed in Sharia. And the second commandment, wala tajassasu, don't spy, don't look for the faults of other people, don't explore the faults of other people, because when one person tries to find out the faults of other people, so what does he do? First of all, he commits many other sins. He remains behind him so that he can be aware of the faults of that person. And when this person will be aware of the faults of any person, then he will definitely tell other people that this person has that kind of fault. I have observed, I have information, I know that. So now this thing again leads society to quarrel with each other, to fight with each other, because when one person will defame other person, so the other person will never be silent. He will never remain silent. He will try to take his revenge from this person, so then they will fight with each other and it will damage our society. That's why Allah has forbidden from that. The third thing is backbiting. Backbiting is haram. That is strictly haram. Allah has said that is like eating the flesh of your dead brother, as you are eating the flesh of your dead brother, and you never like that. You never like that. So as you don't like to eat the flesh of your dead brother, so similarly you never backbite of your brother, because when we backbite someone, so we are offending over his dignity, over his respect, over his status in society. We are damaging his status in society. So, and the status of a person, the respect of a person, like his body and soul. Because person is the combination of body and soul and respect. A person who has body but he doesn't have soul, so what is that person? He's dead. The person who has body and soul but he doesn't have respect and prestige in society, so what is his life? Nothing. The person would be humiliated in society, and that life is like nothing. So that's why when we backbite someone, so it means we are damaging his being. We are damaging his existing. We are damaging his body and soul and respect. That's why Allah Azza wa Jalla said, the person who is backbiting other people, he is like that person who is eating the flesh of his dead brother. So now these three commandments have been given in this ayah, and three commandments have been given in the previous ayah, what I have recited. So in the light of these ayah, we can understand very easily that regarding the matters of society and muasharat, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us many commandments. So we can say that the matters of society, the matters of our behavior and communication with other people, there are many situations which are obligatory upon us to observe them in Islamic way, not in the wrong way, not in harming other thing. And in one ayah, I can say there is a summary of the whole society matter, on what rule the society should run. What is that rule? Allah Azza wa Jalla said in that ayah, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَقْتَصَبُوا فَقَدِ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. And those people who harm mu'min men and women, who harm mu'mineen, whether they are male or female, bighairi maktasabu, without any sin, what they have committed, those mu'mineen and mu'mina, they didn't commit any sin, but because of and without that, these people are teasing them, they are harming them. فَقَدِحْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا, they have borne upon themselves, they have borne upon them a slander and manifest sin. بُهْتَانًا, slander and وَإِثْمَ مُبِينَ, and manifest sin. So they are bearing upon them a slander and manifest sin. So that is the summary of all those commandments on which the Islamic society run, and that is this commandment. So that's why in the light of these ayah, I would say the matters of muashara are also very important to observe. And but unfortunately, Muslims are very away from these matters, as we have discussed that matter in the previous sisra. So they must be very careful regarding these commandments as well.
Subhanallah, dear viewers of Madni channel, Islam does not leave us alone. Whenever we are in need of Islam, Islam comes and teaches us and educates us. When we are speaking to other brother and we want to call them, so Islam tells us that وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, do not call them with offensive nicknames. When we are thinking about someone, so Islam says اِجْتَنَبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِ, don't make lot of assumptions about them which are going to be negative. And when we are looking towards a person, Islam tells us وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا, do not look for the faults of them. Subhanallah. And when we are talking about a Muslim in his absence, then again Islam comes and teaches us that do not backbite. And if you are backbiting, Islam tells us that as if you are eating the flesh of your dead brother. Dear viewers of Madri channel, and then the very basic thing or the most important thing is each and everything which harms Muslim without a valid Shari'i reason, it is not allowed for us. Be polite and kind with others and always try to think about the benefit of other fellow Muslims. So inshallah, with these words, I seek permission from you, and inshallah we'll see you in next episode. I make dua that may Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal make us true and practicing Muslim. Ameen, ameen, bijahi nabil ameen. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success